When you pick Pet Honda, you pick huge savings on a huge selection. Shop and save on over 1,100 of your favorite new Hondas, like a new 2019 CR-V EX-CVT two-wheel drive, lease for $259 a month, 36 months, zero security deposit. Pick Pet Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online anytime at patpethonda.com. Stock number KA042560-209, 12,000 miles per year, $27.99 due at signing, tax and fees extra on approved credit through HFS. See dealer for details, ends 3-220. When you pick Pet Honda, you pick huge savings on a huge selection. Shop and save on over 1,100 of your favorite new Hondas, like a new 2019 CR-V EX-CVT two-wheel drive, lease for $259 a month, 36 months, zero security deposit. Pick Pet Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online anytime at patpethonda.com. Stock number KA042560-209, 12,000 miles per year, $27.99 due at signing, tax and fees extra on approved credit through HFS. See dealer for details, ends 3-220.
On Michael Angley Live, and this is January 23rd, 2020. You know, 2020 vision, man, this year. And, you know, in 2 days starts the year of the rat. That's like the beginning of the festival for the Chinese New Year. Speaking of the Chinese New Year and year of the rat and rats, we have an unbelievable virus going on coming out of China. And this hasn't been going on all that long. And you're probably just hearing about it now in the media. I've been talking about this for about a week and a half. So it has spread. Cities are quarantined. Now they're talking about cover-ups and whatever. So this virus just happens to come from the Wuhan area in China, where they have a very large biological weapons facility there, right? And when they built this facility, and then they, of course, they put it under the guise of, no, we're just going to study these pathogens, and, you know, it's just to study things. Of course, they lie. People lie. Governments lie. It's not to study things. It's to create biological weapons. Every scientist in the world that knew anything said, we hope that, you know, they feared, and they hope that these viruses or these pathogens wouldn't get out into the public. So then they're saying it was went from a handful of people being sick to a lot of people being sick, and now hundreds of people being sick. Now they're saying even thousands. It has spread to the U.S. It is in Japan. It's in Taiwan, all over. So me, this is my hobby, pathogens. You know what I mean? Some people play golf. Some people hang glide. I study pathogens, you know, because I find them, you know, fascinating, really. I mean, on every level. So this is what my observation is. And I think this thing is definitely engineered. It was definitely a biological weapon. It sets up like that. It's already mutated. It's the way it's aggressive and it's spreading. Very dangerous bug, right? No cure, no nothing, of course. You know, and if you know anything about these viruses, you know, to fight the symptoms is very difficult. Yeah, that's what it is with viruses. With bacteria, basically you can kill bacteria. There are super bugs that you can't kill, super bugs that have grown beyond the antibiotics that we have to use, right? Most of the antibiotics we use are really antiquated. So the problem is that these viruses, bacteria, all these living bugs, they mutate, they change, and they adapt, and they overcome. You know, they live, they're living. And then as they're living and as they're adapting, they grow beyond these antibiotics that might have been made back in you know, the 60s or 70s or something like that, right? So you have a generational evolvement of these bugs versus medicines that haven't really changed. I mean, we do have stronger antibiotics now, but still, it comes down to your immune system and or things that you can use in nature to fight these viruses, right? To try to kill these viruses. So this is aggressive. This is fast. There was one guy, they said, in Seattle that they found with it, and then now they quarantined over 20 people. Now they're saying in Texas. Now they're saying in Los Angeles. So, and mark my words, if these are Chinese people that are carrying these bugs back and forth, and they're on a plane and they're moving around, and it just if you're that's just enough to catch this stuff. If you're on a plane and someone sneezes or coughs or hacks near you, or you touch what they touch, or if it's airborne, they don't even know yet. They don't even know how it's getting around yet. And then when I was looking at the CDC talking about this, I was watching them break it down. The guy was scared. He was fearful. He had fear in his eyes and his voice. And the response is much bigger than what you would normally think of a pneumonia case going around, you know? So this is a coronavirus. This is part of the SARS family. That might all sound familiar to you because those viruses have killed tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people around the world in the last many years, right? So this is something that's dangerous. And it's aggressive, and it's out there, and it's going to be hard to fight, almost impossible. So my prediction, it's going to go through all the poor areas. It's going to ravage those places. This is a fast targeting pneumonia going right into your lungs. If it comes on like the flu, and then we tell you, man, there's a lot of people that when they get sick, they don't want to go to the doctor. They don't want to go to the hospital. You know, they want to just stay home and take care of it and, you know, have your chicken soup and that type of thing. This is not that. This is something that was designed for a certain purpose. And then a few people from the CDC made mention that this reminds them of the Spanish flu in 1918. Oh, my God. The Spanish flu in 1918 that killed hundreds of millions of people around the world. And if there were airplanes back then, it would have done a lot more damage. So you're talking about a lot of people dead already, a lot of people who are critical. You know, and that's just the ones they know about. You know? So they locked down three cities. They locked down Wuhan and two other cities near it. Over 20 million people are quarantined right now, you know, and they're trying to contain this. But obviously, if you got a guy in you know, a few people in the U.S. that have it, in the U.K., somebody in Brisbane, Australia, it seems like it's out there. And then, you know, it comes down to decide how it got out there by accident, on purpose. Did somebody working in those labs take, you know, animals and sell them in those markets, the marketplace and that type of thing? Who knows? But you know damn well that the Chinese are not big on hygiene. They're not big on security either. So if you have a situation where a virus goes out of control, you're not going to be able to rely on China to stop it. And they have, they got 1.4 billion people. Maybe they don't want to stop it. And you have to think like that. If you know about critical thinking, man, people are capable of anything. And that's the scariest thing about humans, that they're capable of anything. And I don't want to scare the crap out of people, or maybe I do, you know, because this is something that I think is important to pay attention to. Not be afraid, but pay attention to. And you know, obviously, you wash your hands, you take care of yourself, you know. But if it's airborne or something like that, and they don't even know how long this bug can live outside the host, who knows? But here's the headlines right now. All right. Spread. Cities quarantine. Snakes could be the source, which is pretty funny. Cover up fears mounting. Suspected case in Texas. Virus scare at LAX. That's what you're dealing with, you know. And, you know, the news likes to goose people, but this is beyond that. The response to this is gigantic, which is good, right? Which is good. But maybe they're trying to close the barn door after the horses have already escaped. And if that's the case, all right, I'll give it to you like this. Here's more headlines. Inside the virus war zone, patients put in boxes. They're taking these patients and putting them in boxes. Because don't forget, hospitals get exhausted quickly. You know, I mean, when you're talking about first responders or anything like hospitals or anything like that, there's not that many of them out there to go and help if there's some kind of, you know, a pandemic happening, you know, an epidemic or a global pandemic, right? And then now the CDC and the WHO are deciding whether to call it a global pandemic. And this is like just not that long ago when this came about, you know? So how about this? Infected people seen dead in the streets, right? So a case near Tokyo spurs alert for U.S. military personnel. You know, Washington State medics monitor 16 people. Now it's 21. This was 16 earlier. Beijing cancels New Year events. So think about those headlines, especially infected people seen dead in the streets. Yeah, that's what you see in your favorite zombie movie, you know, these are the scenes that happen before something bigger happens, you know. Am I an alarmist? Yeah, of course. I'm an entropy fan. Not that I glee in it, but it's kind of, there's a thing in there that grabs me. And then I think that it's important to be smart in these situations, you know, and not dumb, because people have crappy hygiene. Just look at the supermarket, man. I mean, people are sneezing and hacking. You go, there's a cashier, they're all sick. One sick cashier could make 40 people, 50 people sick, you know. So it really comes down at that point to your immune system and how you react to, you know, to anything going on in your environment. If you're one of those people that get sick, right? So with all that going on, and I'm really curious about the dead people in the streets, man, infected, because, you know, if you have a bunch of people obviously dead in the street and they're infected, do you think that infection is going to spread, you know? And then, you know, there's rats, there's mice and all that other stuff can get in there. But, oh man, I'm actually trying to open the article and then everything is going slow. Or is it? Here we go. Yeah. So you got to just, like I said, take care of your loved ones and be ready and be ready for anything. So here we go. Disturbing images of Wuhan residents dropping unresponsive to the floor have emerged on Instagram following the diseased Chinese city's coronavirus lockdown. Wuhan has been branded a zombie land by frantic locals after Chinese authorities told residents they are not allowed to leave yesterday morning. Pictures from inside the city paint an apocalyptic picture as medics patrol in hazmat suits and gas masks. In an upload direct from Wuhan, a man can be seen lying unresponsive on the floor as concerned individuals kind of gather around. So take that for... I don't want to laugh at it, but I mean, that sounds freaking scary. I'm looking at the picture right now. This dude laying there dead, and these people are kind of standing there with their masks on. And I wouldn't rely on those masks, little paper masks, to stop some freaking treacherous bug. If this is really true, and I'm looking at the images, and people are flipping out, I'm watching video right now. If this is really true, then this isn't just some pneumonia going around making people sick. You know, this is a deadly, deadly virus that has been released, and now it's you know, making its way around the world. So here it is. It appears that the man was waiting in line for paperwork when he collapsed while wearing a disposable face mask for protection. As the scene unfolds, a medic dressed all in white approaches. The man bends down to offer assistance. The guy was not breathing unresponsive. I think we call that dead in the real world. The situation was witnessed by a line of six people. And there they are. They're all sick. They're all trying to get into these medical centers, right? Hospitals or clinics or whatever. One woman can be seen frantically pointing to the floor as team of medics attend to another man laying unconscious on the floor. So, all right. Here's the new count. So far, the coronavirus has taken the lives of 25 people, with over 600 cases confirmed worldwide. Cases have been confirmed in China, Thailand, South Korea, Japan, and the United States. You can add the UK, maybe, Australia, maybe. There's a whole lot of other maybes that came, obviously. This article is not even like a day old, you know? And then my initial count was 7 dead people earlier. What I read from an article, I guess, that came out maybe around 11 o'clock last night, you know, and wow, I think that many people that quickly, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that this thing is running its course, you know, and that's what they say. Oh, it's got to run its course, right? It needs to, you know, when our bodies encounter things like this, especially something you haven't had before. Let's say you get the common cold, right? And there's all kinds of strains, the strains of the flu, the cold, everything, you know, with every new host is a new strain. Basically, you can think of it like that. You know what I mean? So with all of these viruses, there's one dominant thing, all right? You, your body, you're the host. It wants something from you. It's looking to survive. It's life, and it wants to live. It wants to survive, and it wants to survive inside of you. So either you kill it or it kills you, and that's kind of how it goes. So when you get a common cold or the common flu, if there is such a thing anymore, your body pretty much knows how to fight it off. Your immune system's like, yeah, I remember you. You came here, caused some trouble. I threw your ass out. That's what you want your immune system to do. It's like a bouncer, you know? This bad stuff comes in, they bounce it out. You know what I mean? But when you have like the H5N1 virus, you know, which was the bird flu, and they were afraid it was going to mutate. And then the H and the 5 and the N and the 1 have never met each other in a human body before until that time. So you don't know how your body's going to react to something. So it's not just like a cold. It's not just like a flu. It's not, you know, but they're saying fast targeting pneumonia. That's a weapon. You're not going to tell me that's not a weapon. That's a weapon. That's something you designed to kill people, you know, and with all this crap going on with China, and the mentality of humans in general, I wouldn't be surprised if this was released on purpose. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was released by accident. Because when that facility was built in Wuhan, people warned them of that. The world warned them of that. The World Health Organization warned them. But the Chinese don't care. They don't care because they know everything. Nobody else knows anything. That's how they act, man. They're arrogant. They know everything. All of a sudden, stuff gets released on purpose or not. And you can't tell me that it's a coincidence that this weapon just happened to be let loose right by the facility that they make the most unbelievable weapons. I mean, this isn't a bullet you get shot with. This isn't something like that. This is something that comes from within, that any man, woman, and child can contract, you know, and that people spread it throughout society. So, wow. People falling dead in the street, really? And they didn't think there was a problem with that? But now, oh, yeah, now they're going to quarantine three cities worth over 20 million. Guess what? There's 1.4 billion people in China. And, you know, the borders in China aren't so secure. Those people kind of walk back and forth and do their thing. And then when people get sick, they get scared and they take off. They get on buses. They go on airplanes. They leave. They tried stopping all tourism. They stopped all the air travel. They stopped all the bus travel. But, yeah, it took them a while to do that. And then, you know, boom, people are out. The very first line last week, 11 days ago, when this whole outbreak happened, where it got attention anyway, China said, we know how to handle the situation. Everything's well in hand. All of a sudden, now you're seeing, you know, popping up, oh, the U.S., oh, man, Australia, or the U.K., or Thailand, or Japan. Wow. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's too late. If you'd start telling me that this stuff is out there to that degree, it's already too late. And the only thing you can do is withstand the storm. But they're putting people in these viral boxes. That's interesting. Where did those things come from, man? They just happened to pull them out of their ass all of a sudden, right? I mean, think of the response. Think of the planned response and think of what's going on. You know, it's just the whole thing is really unnatural. And that's why we're looking at biological weapons. It already mutated. Your biological bug is going to come out of the box and look for that host to mutate. It's going to look for those hosts, you know. The biggest fear about the bird flu was that it was going to get to what they call the tipping point, which is a mutation where it could go through the air. Like all of a sudden you sneeze, achoo. And then that, your common sneeze, right, will go 20 feet, 30 feet. If you have one of those gut sneezes, blah-hoo, that thing can go 50, 60, 70 feet out in the air. And if the wind, the current, if you're in a store and there's air moving around, or if you're outside, those bugs will fly through the air and that mucus like little clouds, and you'll be walking around all unsuspecting, inhaling, boom. And not to mention the fact that these bugs can last a long time outside the host. So if you think of the flu can last at least 2 weeks, especially if it's really cold and dry. You're, man, I got the flu, I hack on my hand. I touch a shopping cart. The next person comes through, a lady with five kids. She touches the shopping cart. She rubs her nose. Boom. She's got my bugs. Whether she gets sick or not is really up to her immune system, you know? And whether her kids get sick or not, it's really up to their immune system. That's why it's so fascinating, you know? It really is. And there's really no other way around saying that you should be scared, because this is just not normal, not right. The whole thing doesn't feel right. And all I see is these Chinese in airports leaving and going, you know. I'm in Ithaca, New York, man. We have thousands of Chinese nationals at Cornell University in Ithaca, you know. But think about Chinatown. Think about these places where they're not going to want to seek out, especially if they're illegal aliens, you know. You know, I was just reading last week on how, you know, the whole border crisis going on with illegal aliens crossing over and all that, that the Chinese are paying big bucks, thousands of bucks, sometimes even 10,000, to be smuggled into the U.S. Can you imagine that? And for what reason? You know, and who are they? We don't know who they are. We don't know why they're coming here. They're coming here for a good life. They have all this money. I was in Far Rockaway. This is years ago, right? And we were chilling out. It's kind of, it was a predominantly black area, you know, kind of a aggressive place, man. You know what I mean? A lot of crime and a lot of hardship, a lot of poverty, you know. And I had good friends that lived there, so I'd be there, right, hanging out. Sometimes we'll hang out there till early morning hours. So one particular night, we're all just chilling out, talking, whatever. And all of a sudden, we start seeing all these people running at us, you know, coming down the street. And they're all Chinese. And there was like hundreds of them, really thousands. We didn't know, but the hundreds that we saw coming down the street, and they're coming up to us and they're saying, hey, you know, like waving around $100 bills, American money, saying, you know, they need a phone. They use the phone, you know, and there was no cell phones at that point. So they're like, phone, you know, let me use phone, $100 phone. And then, of course, I mean, I didn't live on that block. But people were taking them aside their houses in large numbers and letting them use their phone so they could call their contacts. But it turns out that some ship ran aground a couple blocks away, because that's where the channel is that goes through there, you know. And then because the ship ran aground, all these Chinese jumped off who were being smuggled here into the U.S. And there was tens of thousands of them on the ship. They said, look, over 30,000 people. Imagine 30,000 people jammed onto a ship like that, running through the streets, all with American money, saying phone. So obviously we have problems in our country of keeping account of who comes in and who goes out, man. You know what I mean? And I'm not against people coming in. I'm against people coming in that we don't know. You know, no matter who they are, I don't care what country they come from. We should know who the hell is coming in. It's not like we don't need people either, by the way. We need people in the military. I think that's a great way for DACA people to earn their citizenship. You know, join the military. Go and do something like that, right? If you want to, you know, have people become part of the country and then be loyal to each other in this country, the only way to do that is to put them on a path where they can, you know. So I don't know. I don't like all this going on, and it feels really bad. And that's probably the worst part of it. But at the same time, we have this impeachment stuff going on. You probably hate it. You probably don't even want to hear it. You're like, ugh, impeachment. You hate impeachment so much, you're not even going to eat peaches, not any time in your life anymore, because you just don't want to hear it. But Trump is not doing the right thing. And, you know, Lara, for instance, I resent it when I have to stick up to him. And if you listen to my show on a regular basis, you know that I'm not a Trump fan at all, you know? And they just rolled back rules, for instance, on waterways and wetlands that now corporations, real estate developers, companies, whatever, even farmers, can dump waste in these waterways as much as they want without being punished, you know? And you know, when I was reading this today, I was really upset because these rules were put in place back in the 70s, and Trump referenced, you know, Obama's rules, and he put them in place. These rules, you know, Obama added to it, but these rules were put in place back in the 70s to save our natural wetlands, to save our waterways, to save our water supply. And let me tell you this, water is life. And I've seen this administration roll back rules in the EPA where it is beyond deplorable, because this is where the animals drink, this is where the people drink, and then you eat those animals, and whatever, maybe you eat those people, I don't know, whatever your personal preferences, the bottom line is, it's wrong, and he's going to hurt a lot of people by doing this. So, yeah, for all of his little rich friends who are developers, for all of his little business people, oh, it's a good idea because it's going to help the farmers. What a bunch of BS. Help the farmers. It's going to hurt the farmers. Because if you have big corporations or chemical corporations, for instance, that instead of disposing the stuff properly and then spending all that money to dispose stuff properly, they just dump it into the water. Because that's what they do. They'll dump it into the ground. They'll dump it into the waterways. And then it goes sailing down the rivers, whatever, estuaries, whatever you got, into somebody else's backyard. Be somebody else's problems. This is what, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the 70s. I'm 53. I remember it. I remember the dioxin, and I remember all the horrible chemicals that were giving people cancer, cancer clusters and whatever from these corporations, because you can't trust corporations to do the right thing. They won't. Historically, they never did. So why is Trump doing this? Why is he doing this? Why roll back the rules when you don't have to? Because it's not the farmers. You don't hear any farmers. That was the biggest BS thing he ever said. The farmers, they wanted this. It's going to help them. Bullcrap. He knows by being a politician that he can tell people it's good for the farmers. And all of a sudden, you have people saying, well, if it's good for the farmers, it's good for us. Not one farmer is out there saying, I want to dump all this stuff in my water supply, or I want to draw from the water supply that someone dumped chemicals in, right? Those rules were put there for a reason. And then, you know, when I read stuff like that, I don't feel so bad about impeachment. When I read stuff like that and all the terrible things that his administration is doing now, because there's a lot of that when it comes to the EPA, like using cyanide bombs to kill coyotes and foxes, right, in certain areas. And then, you know, these cyanide bombs were banned. They were banned because it was making other animals sick, predatory birds, even birds like vultures or crows or things like that, birds that clean nature, that go out and they eat dead animals, you know? And then kids also got sick, people's personal pets, their dogs got sick off these cyanide bombs. And basically, it's a bomb. They go, it's got armed with food, the animal goes up, the thing goes off, and it kills the coyote, the fox, or it kills whatever animal goes up to it. It could be your dog. It could be a cat. It could be a deer. It could be anything that goes up to that device, right? It defies logic to start using them again, especially when they said, oh, it's going to help the farmers again, right? It's going to help the farmers. The farmers all unanimously said, all these groups came forward saying that they don't want it. It's going to hurt their farms. It's going to hurt nature. You know, there's predatory birds that are going to land. They're going to get this. They're going to spread it. You know, they're going to be eaten by other animals. Not something to do, right? Not smart. But yeah, he's doing it. Yet they're doing it. They did it already. In fact, a little while ago, you know, and I was kicking and screaming when they did that. And it's just that when you start rolling back all these important rules that protect people's lives and your livestock, your pets, your family, whatever the hell you got, and the government's saying, no, no, we can do this because it's important to do, but yet they don't have a real reason to do it, except it's being driven by the corporations that are selling these devices. They want to make money, right? That's all they care about. That's all they care about, money. They don't care about you. They don't care about your life. They don't care about anything like that. They would kill you and laugh. You're talking about corporations like Johnson & Johnson, owned by Bayer, who put asbestos in baby powder after they knew it caused cancer. Oh, no. There'll be some lawsuits in the future. We'll take care of that. Our stock will go up. Everything will be great. That's all they care about, and that's exactly what happened when they're baby powder. Baby powder, man. You're specifically putting a carcinogen in a powder used on babies. Women, babies, whoever needs baby powder was using that. Little children. Where's the outcry? How come no one went to jail because of that? You know? Where's those CEOs or the people who made that decision? Somebody made that decision to put that stuff in there. They knew way back when that it caused cancer, and they didn't stop. They kept doing it. They didn't care because it was about money. So if you think that some big corporation who makes chemicals isn't going to dump their chemicals now in your favorite creek, ha, of course they will. They don't care about you. They don't care about your creek. They don't care about your town. They don't care about your city. They don't care about any of that. They care about money. Oh, they care where they live. In their ivory tower, where they live, you know, robber barons, they don't care about anything except their own miserable skin and the money in their bank account. And that's it. So who's going to protect you? What are you going to do about it? You got some Democrats who say they hate corporations. Elizabeth Warren, even though she's taking lots of money, millions of dollars from these same corporations. Bernie Sanders, another guy. Now they're in the fight of their life. You know what? The whole presidential race is like the old folks' home went nuts. You know what I mean? The old folks' home went crazy. They got a hold of some wrong drugs. They're all fighting. I remember when moon pies were 5 cents. I don't freaking care about your 5 cent moon pies, Grandpa. I want somebody who's going to run the government where they're going to protect us from everything, basically. Protect us from ourselves, you know, and not infringe, not go after our rights. I want more rights, not less. Not these guys. You know, Elizabeth Warren, they did the freaking Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton went after Bernie, one side and the other, man. You know, in professional wrestling, that's called the tuna crunch. The tuna crunch. I don't watch professional wrestling. I made that up. Sorry, but it's funny as hell anyway. But the bottom line is they're going after Bernie just like they did the last time. This dude, they don't want him to win. Even Barack Obama said, oh, if he's the front runner, I'm going to have to speak out against him. Like anybody gives a crap about Barack Obama and what the hell he says. Oh, I'm going to have to speak out. Oh, no, Barack, don't speak out against me. That's the kiss of death for Barack or Michelle Obama to speak out against you. Those guys have enough trouble, man. They've gotten involved with Prince Cuckold and his princess. You know? And then, of course, you've seen all that. The Queen. I like it, man. I like it. You know what I mean? In fact, I love it. You know why? Because I hate royals, man. You know? And I think that they are the epitome of everything wrong in the world. Those people are the epitome. You don't need a queen. You don't need a prince. You don't need a king. You need a responsible government that's going to govern for the people that is supposedly feeding into their system to represent. But they don't have that in England. They got Bojo, Boris Johnson. He's like the He's like the trailer park version of Trump. You know what I mean? So they got him. Whatever good he thinks he's going to do. And but I like this going on. So, of course, Prince Harry and his woman, Meghan. Is that her name? I just call her. I'm horrible, man. I just call her the princess cuck. You know, the Duke and Duchess of Suckett is what it was. And now Harry is moving on, man, because the Queen has made them. They got kicked out of the UK. Like, they got stone cold kicked out of the palace, man. So they're calling her the new Yoko, the new Yoko Ono, you know? And this is, you know, especially us Americans here. And I have a big audience there in England. Got you guys. And I know you have turmoil, you know? Like, I think there's turmoil all over the world, but your little royal family flipping out. So, Meghan, she's the only one that's happy in all of this. And they said how unhappy Harry is and all that. They got banished to Canada. Then the people in Canada are like, we don't want them. And then the people in Canada are like, well, we're certainly not going to pay for their personal security. So then the former prince and princess, whatever they are now, I think they maintain their titles, but they have no royal responsibilities. The Duke and Duchess of Suckett are sitting there. Well, if we have the money, you know, we're going to pay for our own security. You know, that's a huge compliment of security. Costs millions of dollars for something like that, right? And, you know, they don't care, obviously, because they think that they're better than that. She's already looking at a mansion in Malibu. She wants to be Malibu Barbie. She already has a job with Disney. They're at a party. And here's the big CEO of Disney, plus a whole bunch of other directors. And Harry's saying, oh, my wife does voiceover. She's good at using her mouth. Not for anything fun, though. Ha, 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 ha. You know? Because I hear she runs her mouth all the time. I hear she's just there nonstop. They had to let go a whole bunch of nannies. Well, the nannies quit because they didn't want to take care of their baby, you know, because of her. Oh, but she's unhappy because she was in England and she didn't like being a princess in England. So whatever, man. Whatever. I think that they're both a perfect display of what not to be. And these people are the big environmentalists. You're going to hop on your private plane to go to all your big environmental meetings and create a huge carbon footprint by doing that. Then they speak out against private planes, but then they get back into that private plane. So now Oprah, the queen here we have in America, Oprah Winfrey, Oprah and the Obamas have gotten a hold of Harry and Meghan, and then they're talking at them about having their own special. You know, because don't forget, the Obamas are big in Netflix. They were given hundreds of millions of dollars to create content for Netflix, even though they're two freaking politicians who know nothing about creating content. Nothing. They're going to create content for a social conscious. It's your conscience. It's calling you to be politically correct. Right. So sick. Makes me sick. Doesn't make you sick. That makes me sick. And then here they are with all their millions of bucks. They went in office as two lawyers, Barack and his counterpart Michelle, even though he calls Michelle Mike all the time. And there is a conspiracy out there that Michelle is a transvestite. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to put it out there. Let you know that's what people are saying. There is some evidence online of some, you know, a package down there moving around when Michelle Obama was on Ellen and dancing around. I'm not lying, not kidding. Not saying anything I shouldn't say because it's out there. All right. It's out there. More than enough pictures of her with some package. I don't know. Is it plausible? Yes. You know, it actually was Joan Rivers who came out and said that, oh, everyone knows Michelle's a transvestite. It's the biggest, you know, freaking scam on society. She said that, and a day later, she was dead. So I don't know. I don't have any inside information. I just know what people say and what I see. And, you know, if you're moving around and you got a piece down there moving around and you're a female, oh, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong going on. So, and I read Barack Obama's first book where he said that he had homosexual tendencies and he had relationships with other guys. He was in that crew. And all the people that knew him in Hawaii, he would introduce himself as a foreign student from Indonesia, which is interesting, not an American. He would bump cigarettes off people, apparently, that you know, back in the day, they were cheap, so no big deal. You have cigarettes on it. And then he hung out with the gay crowd, you know, which is nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But it all starts to add up, man. So there you go. There's my conspiracy theory for the night. I'll leave you with that. But Prince Harry, you know, this guy's struggling, man. His mom dead. His father's a jerk. You know, I think that the guy was on a suicide mission in Afghanistan when he was a soldier. You know, he's got balls, man. I mean, and I liked him when he was naked in Vegas falling into pools and stuff. He was funny. He was like a prince and a court jester all rolled up into one. So the queen, you know, first of all, his brother, William, right? William's like, you know, Meghan's a Piccadilly whore, you know, like that, you know. She's a Piccadilly whore. How dare you bring her back to the palace? And then so she's, you know, you're a home wrecker. She's the palace wrecker, right? And the queen takes no crap. She's the queen. She is too old to care. And when it comes down to being embarrassed, already you got Andrew with the young girls and all that and the prostitution. Bad enough. Then you got Harry running around with this girl who's just a bitch on wheels to everybody. And she fragmented the family, fragmented his relationship with his own brother, the rest of them. And now she's got him as an island man onto his own. And you know what? He is pussy drunk. It's a medical term. Pussy drunk is when you are so into that stuff. You are so into that Rick James, man, that sweet, funky stuff, right? You are so into that sweet, funky stuff that you can't even think straight. You're thinking with your dick. And that's why he's this huge cuck. And, you know, here we are. Just what a mess. What a mess. And mark my words, she's going to dump this dude. She's going to dump him. She's going to pop out another baby. Don't even be surprised if she's pregnant now. You know, she's going to pop out another baby. And those two babies are going to be her royal connection. She's always going to be taking care of that. A lot of women think like this. You know, a lot of them practice hypergamy too. You know, and she's going to monkey branch up to something better. You think, what's better than a prince? A lot. Because he draws a lot of attention to her. And he's not all that good looking. You know what I mean? He looks like Diane's bodyguard. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even look like Prince Charles. You know, he looks like Diane's bodyguard. Like, identical. But just saying. more conspiracy theories. More stuff. Just saying. So, do I feel bad for Harry? No. Because it's every guy's duty not to go and get pussy drunk, man. Every guy's duty. You know? And he dated out of his circle, Hollywood woman, already been around the block many times. Let's face it, she's hit the wall, you know, and he's kind of settling in. He's going to be the husband, the daddy, whatever. But she's caused all these problems in his family, not him. And all the reports are that he is unbelievably unhappy and depressed, and she's happy as can be. So what does that tell you? You know, and shouldn't your wife be out there for you, like, hey, I want you to be happy, honey, I'm sorry, or whatever. And she had to have known what life was going to be like marrying a royal. It's not just about being famous, you know, it's about being really famous. You know what I mean? You know how famous that is? They get all the attention. Look at Bill Clinton, okay? Very powerful man when he was president. All eyes, all cameras on him. Has sex in the Oval Office, probably not the first time. He's a sex fiend, apparently. You know, a lot of women said that he raped them and molested them, whatever. Only 36 of them, to be exact, around there. 36. That's a lot of people, you know. Bill Cosby, sitting in jail right now for the same type of stuff, you know what I mean? But drugging people and whatever. Anyway, Bill Clinton. You know how famous Bill Clinton is? And you know how powerful Bill Clinton is and was, right? Still is, right? He is so famous and so powerful that a woman that would give him oral sex is also famous because of that. Also famous. Everybody knows Monica Lewinsky. She has made money from that. She has kept the dress with the semen stains. Ugh. Really? And that's the mentality of these people. That's sick and disgusting. That's the mentality of these people. You know, and this is where my head is at. I don't like them. And it's not because they live up to some kind of standards. And believe me, my standards aren't all that huge. You know, I think they're pretty basic. I'm pretty low maintenance. And but I am loyal. And I'm not a cheater. And I'm not a liar. So, you know, it's like those are my basic standards. And the people that don't meet those standards, that's their life. I can't control their life. I can't do anything. I can't stop that in any way. The only thing I can do is choose not to be around people like that. I don't want to vote for them. I don't want to know from them. They're like demons for the most part to me. They're what they are. They you know, and I'm not saying that people don't have their problems. Yeah, man. But there are people out there that really are like demons who want to just plague the living, you know, and hurt people. They don't care. Liar, cheater, thief, narcissists. Narcissists put you down, call you names, you know, say terrible things, you know, put you in a box. How many people out there can identify with that? How many people out there know somebody who is that narcissist or bipolar narcissist? And then the PC society says, oh, that's a condition. That's their problems and whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't need to be a victim of their condition. You know, you should lock that somewhere up. Lock it up somewhere and treat it. We just had a dude here locally from Ithaca, New York, Ithaca College, travel down to Washington, D.C. and storm the gates on an electric scooter or something, on a scooter. Because he wanted to tell Trump that he was a tyrant and all these things. You had a dude who's a crazy liberal leftist. And they're out there, believe me, lots of them, who is heavily medicated, who has an unbelievable amount of mental problems. So people are, oh, the poor guy, he has mental problems. You know what? This guy could have killed anybody. He could have done anything. He could have hurt anybody. You know, and just like that dude from Harlem that went up to Monroe, New York, I guess it was, and stabbed those people in that synagogue, this guy was a repeat offender, is a repeat offender, right? He's well-known, a well-known schizophrenic. He is a danger to the public. At what point do you say enough? If people are dangerous to the public, we need to lock them up and protect other people who are innocent. So here in Ithaca, another case a couple of weeks ago, this guy goes into the local hospital, Cuyahoga Medical Center. They have a psych ward. And then he said, oh, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to commit suicide. A local known nut. A guy who's a nut. He's crazy, right? Was crazy, right? After a couple of days, you know, normal observation, 3 to 5 days. And really, if they're really messed up, they should keep them for weeks and make sure that they're okay before they release them or treat them or whatever they got to do. They released him in 2 days. Expedited him quick, got him out the door. He walked from the hospital down to the police station. In his travels, he picked up a 9-inch butcher knife, right? He goes to the police station, and you can look at the news. You can look at the, you know, Ithaca News, and you're going to see this. Goes to the police station. He buzzes, you know, because the cops are locked in there like a fortress, you know. He buzzes the police. The cop comes to the door to open it. The guy stabs the cop just like that. Cop wasn't even ready. Cop pulls out his gun and shoots the guy dead. Now, all of this could have been avoided And these are police officers that are somewhat trained to handle things, even though, you know, if you don't experience a lot of crime, you're not apt to handle those crimes if you're not ready for it. And, of course, we can get into a whole discussion about all that, police officers, guns, and the whole bit, and how they can respond to things. And a lot of cops even have their guns taken away from them, and people use the guns against them. That's a whole other issue. I'm talking about a guy who was a nut, who picked up a 9-inch knife, who did suicide by cop. Basically, he was suicide by cop. They're not calling it that. I'm calling it that. But that's what he did. He tried to kill that cop, or tried to get a response at him, or he got shot and killed, and he did. You know. But this guy could have stopped anywhere along the ways. And we have an area in Ithaca called the Commons, which is an open marketplace, right? Half the stores are out of business. It's a drug town now. There's a lot of heroin addicts, druggies walking around the Commons like zombies, man. You know, aggressive panhandlers, all that going on in Ithaca. It's actually a dangerous place. It's actually rates out of 0 to 100, 100 being the safest place and 0 being the most unsafe place. Ithaca's at 7. For an upstate New York community that hosts Cornell University, right? But think about this. You are 1 in 22 chance of having a crime, violent crime, happen to you in Ithaca, New York, you know? But this guy could have walked down to that Commons, and he could have taken that knife, and he could have killed women and children and whatever. And he was a big dude and a strong dude. They wouldn't have been able to stop him for quite a while unless people really band together. And I wouldn't count on that in Ithaca. You know, he's a ticking time bomb in the community. There's a lot of people like that, and not just in Ithaca, but all over. Look what's going on in San Francisco. San Francisco is a big Ithaca. You've got the same mindset. We have a sheriff in our county, in Tompkins County, Derek Osborne, who says people who do heroin, it's a lifestyle choice. The crimes that they commit are lifestyle choices. He doesn't believe in arresting people for stuff like that. And now we have no bail in New York for many offenses, a lot of violent offenses. And then you have Cuomo pushing off, you know, shifting the blame, pushing things off on other people with a $6 billion budget gap that he blames on Florida, right? This is the fearless leadership that we have. And they admit that the bail reform has gone the wrong direction because people are being arrested and rearrested and rearrested, coming out, committing more crimes, and not being held on bail. And they're not going to court. So all of that, they're admitting that there's a problem there, but they're not willing to do anything to solve that problem. So think about that. That's what people are dealing with here in New York, you know? But I always think it's interesting when I see a headline with an Ithaca native who is the outspoken Bernie supporter, the big liberal. It all goes to a mindset. It goes to a mindset. And then I hear the same people saying, if Trump wins, there's going to be blood. They're going to go out there and they're going to kill and whatever. Is that who you want to elect? Is that the guy that you want in? That's pretty scary when your fellow Americans are threatening plain old, regular old people. But there's a lot of sick mental people out there, and they need to be locked up in facilities where they can't hurt anyone or themselves. That's what mental facilities are supposed to be for. But instead, it's the opposite. And they're letting them run amok through the streets, causing harm, trying to attack police officers and others. Man, that's just a drop in the bucket. Not long ago in Ithaca, there was a woman named Deborah Stagg, who was a lifelong welfare person, lifelong SSI, supplemental security income for people who are mentally ill, mentally unstable, whatever you want to call them. So this is a woman that had a lot of domestic calls going to her apartment paid for by Department of Social Services. Basically, your tax dollars support these people. Everything they do, everything they eat, everything that they every place they go, everything that they are, supported by your money. Right? They're incapable of working, basically. Well, that's what they say. And they're, you know, it's your money supporting them. So here's a case. Boom. She calls the police station, spouting off all kinds of stuff. She barricaded herself in her bathroom with a large butcher knife again. And two police officers show up. One, Mike Padula, right? Anthony Scaglione, Mike Padula. These guys are old timers on the force. You know, the veteran officers, Mike Padula, was just a few months from retirement. The police call it retiree, you know, when you're a few months from retirement and get killed. That's what they call it, right? A few months from retirement, wife, three kids. They walk into the apartment. They're trying to get her to come out of the bathroom so they can talk to the police officers, ambulance staging outside, ready to help, right? She bursts out of the bathroom, takes the knife, jabs it right in Mike Padula's neck. Kills him instantly, basically. Anthony Scaglione, the other police officer, pulls his service weapon and he shoots her dead. Do you know that this community came out to support that woman, Deborah Stagg, saying how terrible that police officer shot her, and you know, she's just misunderstood and she was sick and she didn't take her medicine. So at what point in our society do we say enough? I don't want people to endanger my loved ones or me. I don't want illegal immigrants coming to endanger people either. You want to come here and work hard? Do it. But look what's going on in England. What's going on in Australia? Look what's going on in all these places where you have, you know, these Muslims coming in and changing the rules. And then they don't want to assimilate. They want to take over. And this is what you're seeing. It defies logic that these governments are allowing people to come in to their own country and be victimized by people who are supposed to be escaping some kind of thing, some kind of war, or some kind of strife, right? Do you know how many Muslim countries there are that could take them in? You know how many rich Muslim countries? You think that these Saudi sheikhs don't have any money? You think that they don't have it in Iran or these places? Look at the Ayatollah, right? Hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. The guy's worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And he's up there telling people what, you know, of course they shot rockets at us. And then we did nothing in response, basically, you know, because it didn't hurt anybody. It did. It injured a whole bunch of servicemen. You know what I mean? And Iran blew up the Sheikh's wife's she shed, man. Just like that. Boom. Gone. And of course, they shot down a private airplane, you know, a commercial aircraft, I should say, you know, with over 170 people on it, killed them all dead so they could shoot their 15 missiles off to honor this dead prick who was a butcher. Right. And then Canada comes out, Trudeau. I blame the U.S. for shooting down the plane because it was their aggression that started this whole thing to begin with. So we don't have the right to defend ourselves. And if you have rebels that are backed by Iran attacking U.S. servicemen, we certainly have the right to defend ourselves. And we can strike people beforehand if we have information that they're going to strike our bases because it saves people's lives. And they're the aggressors. So we should have handled Iran a long time ago, but look where it is now. And if Saddam Hussein was still alive... I don't want to be one of those people saying that Saddam should still be alive. I didn't like that guy either. He was a dictator scum, but he kept Iran in check. He kept Syria in check. He kept the whole region in check because he didn't believe what those other people believed. They're all Muslims, but they all come from different things. There's a whole bunch of different cults. It's a cult, right? And there's a whole bunch of different ones. You know, in the beginning, in the Quran, there was two groups, one who believed in the written word, the other one who believed in the metaphor, right? And out of those two groups, you have a whole bunch. So there's Sunnis, there's Shiites, there's Slytherin and Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw, you know, all that. All that. That's why, you know what, Joe Montaldo, who owns and runs United Public Radio Network, says I got over 25,000 people in Iran listening to my show when I do this show. I'm like, they're all plotting against me. It's all government people. It's the Ayatollah. And let me tell you, Ayatollah, if I was Trump, I'd blow up your palace. I'd wait for you to have your cookies and milk and get in bed. I would call your ass and say, hey, Ayatollah, this is the president of the U.S. And he'd be like, what do you want? I'd be like, can you wait 10 seconds? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. What do you want? What are you calling me? 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom! Doop. That's my version of a dial tone. Doop. So anyway, I'm going to leave you thinking about palaces exploding. Because that's my beat all way to handle tyranny, right? You blow up the palace. Kim Jong-un, you blow up his freaking palace. They all have one, you know? They're all billionaires. They all have the big palace. So don't hurt the people. Just blow up their freaking palace. That's my advice to you, Donald Trump. I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live. Thanking you all in this 2020. Just stay safe. Wash your hands. Look out for those marketplaces, man. Don't congregate. You know, I mean, really, if people are dropping dead in the street, like some kind of weird thing, like an apocalypse type of thing going on, yeah. Don't participate in that. You know what I mean? And be scared. Be very scared. I will see you guys hopefully next week on this here show on United Public Radio Network, UPRN TalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Pass Christian, saying aloha.
For all your automotive needs, pick Patpac Nissan. Shop over 500 new vehicles at the only Nissan dealer in Gulfport. Save $8,000 off MSRP on a new 2019 Titan SV. Or buy for $506 a month for 72 months on US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpacnissan.com.
Claim based on 2019 Nissan RDR reports. VIN, CAN, 50538, 1 MSRP, 41,370 includes 3250 dealer discount, 4,000 Nissan customer cash, and 750 Nissan bonus cash. Finance at 3.85% APR, $39.99 down payment. Must finance through NMAC, tax, title, and fees. Extra see dealer for details. Ends 2320.
For all your automotive needs, pick Patpac Nissan. Shop over 500 new vehicles at the only Nissan dealer in Gulfport. Save $8,000 off MSRP on a new 2019 Titan SV. Or buy for $506 a month for 72 months on US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpacnissan.com.
Claim based on 2019 Nissan RDR reports. VIN, CAN, 50538, 1 MSRP, 41,370 includes 3250 dealer discount, 4,000 Nissan customer cash, and 750 Nissan bonus cash. Finance at 3.85% APR, $39.99 down payment. Must finance through NMAC, tax, title, and fees. Extra see dealer for details. Ends 2320.